I don't know where it came from. It was on some cassette tape when I was a kid.
Okay.
Stand up and move your toes. Tell them it's time to go. You've got a lot to do today.
I listen to Vanilla Ice.
You're listening to Swept Together, the story of a modern romance between two adventurers at home, at work, and on the road.
We're your hosts, Christian and Annabelle. Join us as we explore the world and make our home together, wherever we end up.
Because after all, home is never giving up.
Welcome to another episode of Swept Together, the show where we talk about travel and business and relationships. And hello again to all of our wonderful listeners out there in the world. I was just checking our stats, and most of our listeners are here in the country, and by country I mean the U.S. But some of them are actually downloading from like Australia. Oh. And somebody was watching the vlog that you posted on from Paris.
Nice.
Some French person, man or woman,
wanted to learn about Playa del Carmen.
Yes. They were like, Playa del Carmen. And then they found us through Google. I don't know. Maybe they found us through Facebook. I'm not sure. So just a quick note about this show is that we are recording from our dining room table. And there is a crazy dog, like, barking his ass off.
Indeed. So apologies.
Ooh, can I say ass? Does that mean that we have to change our...
We have to put a little explicit
explicit content. So anyway, you might hear some barking while you're listening to this episode. Sorry about that. Yeah.
So today we're talking about the theme of persistence and how we persevere in the face of adversity. There's a lot of things going on in the world, in our own individual lives, and we just want to encourage you that you can keep going and just give you some practical examples of how we've done that in our own lives.
Yeah.
And businesses.
Before we get to that, if you haven't heard any of our past episodes, we would recommend you go and listen to... listen to them on iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher. You could see all of the past episodes. We're on episode 12 now, so there's 12 episodes because we started at zero. Yeah. I always get confused about the math, which is weird because I don't get confused with math.
It's 12 plus 1.
Okay, 13 episodes.
And if you're listening on iTunes or the podcast app...
On the iPhone, yeah.
We would really appreciate it if you would take the time to rate us on iTunes. It's a little convoluted, but we have instructions on our website at swepttogether.com/share the love. And it just walks you through how to leave us an awesome review.
See, you can say that. And I can't. I don't know why I can't say that. Last week's episode, share the love. Last week's episode, I just had such a hard time saying that. Maybe it's the two shh sounds together.
Could be.
And I just don't know how to do that. We don't know how to do that in the Philippines. No. Because it's... If you ever want to get any Filipino's attention, here's a trick. Psst. Like real quick. It's not like psst. That's the American way. Filipino way of doing it is just psst. Like that. Every Filipino within earshot will turn around and look at you. Guaranteed. That's a trick. That's a Filipino trick. So if you have a Filipino friend, it's kind of instinctual. It's instinctual, really. I don't even know that I do it, like, consciously. I just automatically, if somebody goes, if I hear a psst, I'll turn around.
That's probably a super annoying sound in the podcast.
Psst. Psst, 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 psst.
Filipinos everywhere are tuning into our podcast.
So, you know who does have good ratings right now? Is the Cubs.
And go, Cubs, go.
Talk about persistence. Actually, you should talk about this persistence because I'm not a Cubs fan per se. I rooted for them during the World Series last week because, you know, they're in the National League, sort of the Rockies, and I'm a Rockies fan. So they're like the closest team that is related to the Rockies. I can't root for the Indians because they're in the American League. They're in a totally different division. So I had to root for the Cubs. Also, I'm dating somebody who is from Chicago.
He had to come over to my side once the Rockies were eliminated. But the Cubs win this week, or what? This past week.
Did you say the Cubs win this week?
The Cubs win. The win by the Cubs.
Oh, I thought you were just using terrible grammar.
No, the Cubs apostrophe win.
The Cubs' win. Oh, okay. Whatever.
Fine. So the Cubs won the World Series, in case you've been living under a rock. And they have not won the World Series since 1908. So that was a 108-year dry spell. The last time they won, my great-grandfather was 5 years old. He was born in 1903.
What were people doing in 1903? Wrigley Field was Wrigley Field back then, right?
No.
Oh, they didn't play at Wrigley Field?
Wrigley Field was built in, like, 1912?
Oh, so they were just playing,
maybe,
like, at an intramural field in the University of Chicago or something?
Yeah, I'm not sure where the Cubs were playing prior to the building of Wrigley Field, but...
Or how big the World Series was back in 1908.
Right.
Just been, like, five people watching it.
There were
like,
probably
we'll
a lot,
the World Series, boys.
A lot less teams. But it was like, I mean, it's America's pastime. It's like the great American sport, right? Like, people watched baseball. My dad was super into baseball as a child. And my great-grandfather was the one who actually took my dad to his first Cubs game, which was at Wrigley, because at that point, Wrigley Field was built.
Was a field.
Right. Although it had a few different names before it became named Wrigley, but...
Oh, right, because the Wrigley chewing gum...
Right.
...didn't buy it until late, or had the naming...
Yeah.
...didn't have the naming rights until
later. I think
later.
It was Cubs Field before that, and then something else before that, but...
Huh, okay.
But it's been in its existence, you know, for 100 years, probably. But Cubs fans, we are a special breed of people because we are like willing
very special.
We're willing to like repeatedly have our hearts stomped on for an entire century
and 8 years
and 8 years
and eight one century plus 8% of a century,
right?
See, and I can do math.
Yes. And I think, you know, there were so many stories that were shared after the Cubs won about grandparents, parents, you know, relatives who had been Cubs fans their entire lives and had been waiting for this World Series win and had passed away before it happened.
Yeah.
Which is just out of control. I mean, you can say a lot of things about Cubs fans. And I say a lot of things about Cubs fans because I am one, so I can be, like, self-deprecating. But they really are, like...
What kinds of things you say about other Cubs fans? Maybe you shouldn't alienate other Cubs fans.
That's true. They would probably say the same things. But, you know, there's something to be said for the fact that, like, people were willing to devote themselves to this team, like, so wholeheartedly for their entire lives without ever seeing a win, which is pretty crazy. There's this Budweiser commercial that came out after the World Series.
Budweiser is not sponsoring us.
No.
P.S.
They're not. I watched this commercial like 16 times and almost cried every time, but they used audio from Harry Carey, who was the famous Cubs, what was he, a sportscaster?
He was the announcer for the Cubs.
At
he called
Wrigley
all
Field.
The games. Yeah,
and
I don't. I've never heard him announce a game or anything like that. I just know
he was a
him
personality.
From, I just know him from Saturday Night Live.
I was gonna
Will
say,
Ferrell.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live. But
was that pretty accurate? Will Ferrell's
I think
depiction.
So. Yeah, he had like this very like particular kind of like wobbly voice, but. Cubs fans loved him. He loved the Cubs. And they used audio. High five to the production team at Budweiser because they did a fantastic job on this commercial. They used audio, old audio of Harry Carey. He's no longer alive. And basically, like, you edited it together so that he was calling the final play of the World Series win. And it was such...
Yeah, I thought that was really good.
Oh my gosh. It was such a nostalgic moment. And like for every Cubs fan who's like listened to Harry Carey like announce game, you know, call plays and games and to hear him, like his voice and the final play of the World Series. I'm just getting all verklempt thinking about it.
Also a Saturday Night Live.
Verklempt?
Yeah.
Yeah. We never give up. And we finally got our win. Beat all the curses.
108 years. And the only real interaction I've ever had with like Cubs and Cubs fans, I mean other than you, is like other Cubs fans at Rockies games. And I remember like a couple of years ago going to a Rockies game at Coors Field against the Cubs. And this was a fantastic win for the Rockies because it was like literally in the 7th or 8th, I think. It was like we got 17 runs. Like, we batted around twice that inning. And I couldn't believe it that was in the 7th inning. And so by the 9th, most of the Rock, I would say a majority of the Rockies fans had already left. And everybody that was still there was still Cubs fans. And, like, some of them were still flying the W thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude. It's like 21-2. It's not going to happen. It's the 9th inning. But they were still there. And surprisingly, you know, the Cubs fans didn't leave like the Rockies fans did. I didn't leave because I'm a fan.
We never leave our team.
But that just shows the persistence and the perseverance that the Cubs and Cubs fans have for the team. And I guess for them, persistence really does pay off. And so that's what we're talking about today is also persistence. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, business and persistence in relationships, but not in a creepy way, because that would be bad. And we're not definitely not telling you to be be stalkerish.
No means no, people.
Yes. Let's just... And, you know, so let's talk about, God.
Wow.
This show just took a turn for the possible allegations of criminal.
Yeah, let's transition quick here.
Back to business. Why don't you talk about how long you've been doing a Evergreen Lane as a business and maybe like some of the struggles that you've had to like persevere.
Sure. Through. Yeah. So I started Evergreen Lane back in 2013. In the spring of 2013, I launched during my birthday week in March.
Yeah, that's almost 4 years ago now.
Almost 4 years ago. Yeah. It's hard to believe. And so I've definitely, you know, I know statistically they say that most businesses don't last longer than 5 years, which I haven't made it there yet. But when you're starting your own business, especially when you're also working a full-time job, which is what I've been doing the entire time that I've owned my business.
It's kind of like your side hustle.
Right.
or it used to be like kind of your side hustle. It's more and more getting right. to be an equal hustle.
Right. Yeah. Now it's kind of an equal hustle.
On par hustle.
Right. But a yeah.
Side by side hustle.
For a while, you know, I was having to be in an office every day for 8 to 10 hours a day. And then I would come home and, you know, work on my blog and work on my client projects and all of that stuff. I know that a lot of you out there understand what that's like. You know, it really puts you through the ringer, because there's no, you know, when you work a job, even if your job is really stressful, you can leave at the end of the day and know that, like, not the entire weight of the success of that business isn't, like, resting on your shoulders.
Right.
But when you start your own business, like, if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. And of course the goal, you know, eventually is to not have to do everything, or to create systems that are automated, or to hire people to help you, you know. But when you're first starting out, you're bootstrapping it, like, really it doesn't happen unless you do it. And all of that, the beginning stages of business and just like building relationships, which is like one of the, you know, networking is like really important when you're first starting out, building relationships with people who will eventually work with you or tell other people about you, which is an exhausting proposition for an introvert. But, you know, it's really been worth all of the struggle and all of the, you know, late nights to work on this, project. It's been so rewarding. And every client I've had, except for one, has been completely fantastic. And just a joy.
You never told me about the one.
To work with. Yeah, she wasn't a horrible person. She just didn't know what she actually wanted, which made her like impossible to work with. I don't know, designers, if you've ever, or video people, but I feel like designers resonate with this. Like, if you have a client come to you and they're like, I need a logo, but they have no idea what they want. So they tell you like 16 different things that are all like opposing styles. And then you come up with something and then they're like, no, but they can't really tell you what it is that they want. That was this client.
Hmm. That was totally different from when we were coming up with our logo, I think. I hope yeah. so. I hope Rebecca didn't.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, these guys are terrible.
I know. I kept telling her, like, you better tell me if we're like horrible clients. But yeah. So that, I mean, really, that was like a small blip on the radar of like a trail of fantastic people that I've worked with. So I really have no complaints, and it's all been worth the time that I've put into it. And the great thing about owning your own business is that you really do get a return for the work that you're putting in. You know, what you put into it is what you get out of it. And maybe not everything you put into it will pay off, but the things that do, it's just tremendously rewarding, because you know that you did it yourself for yourself. And it's awesome.
Yeah. And I have a similar kind of story with my real estate business, in that, you know, I didn't become a real estate investor intentionally. I bought at the wrong time, and I had to rent out my home because, you know, I couldn't sell it. And so I had to rent it because I had to move. And so I owned this property, and then I just kept renting it. And for how long is it? Like, maybe I rented it for like 9 years, and I just kept renting it. And eventually the market turned in my favor. And this past spring in April, I think it was April. In April, I sold it, and it, you know, because of the market here in Denver, I was able to make a profit off of it, instead of, you know, being underwater for, God, like 5 years or something, when when the market was still like crashing and burning, and it was worth like 2/3 or less of what I had actually, you know, purchased for when I was looking at the market and then looking at how much I owed. I was like, I cannot believe I owe this much, and this is how much this house is worth. This is terrible. But I just kept going. I was like, I need to continue, you know, I'm not going to give up on this, and I'm just going to keep renting it out, and then just keep, you know, hopefully renting it out every year for more and more. And that's what happened. And so I was able to actually get my return on it and get out of debt, help get out of debt because of it. And then also this Philippine or business that involves the Philippines, you know, I don't think I've had a whole lot of traction since the day I started thinking about doing it back in July. I've sent tons of emails to different people, like asking for help, or not help, but like, you know, I need to try to figure out the logistics of getting stuff from the Philippines to here. You know, there's like export taxes and tariffs and things like that that I don't even have any clue how to go about doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm asking the right questions, I think. And I just need to find the right people to ask the questions to. So I just keep, you know, emailing, you know, cold emails, basically, random people from, like, you know, those dried mangoes that you get from Costco. I emailed them even. And I was like, hey, how do you do exporting stuff from Cebu? Because you guys do it, obviously. And then I got hooked up with somebody. And I definitely need to see if he can talk with me.
Yeah.
And in terms of perseverance in relationships, I know we've talked in the past about our divorces, episode 8.
Yeah.
And how, what kind of people we became. Did we really talk about the, you know, perseverance aspect? I mean, it goes into that because we were the kind of people, I think, already that didn't give up.
Right.
In terms of relationships, we could have, you know, just said, you know, screw love and relationships and this isn't, you know, for me. You know, I know some people that have done that. Like,
right.
They got married once and then are still single to this day, you know? And
right.
I guess, I mean, if that's how they want to do it, then that's fine. They're kind of a lone wolf situation.
Yeah. I mean, that was the main reason that I decided to go to counseling after my divorce, was because I didn't want it to make me like bitter and closed off.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
I was very intentional. It was awful in that, like, it was a really like difficult, it was hard things to talk about because they were like fresh and had, you know, just happened.
With your counselor, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right. But it really helped me to let a lot of those things go and not become resentful or bitter towards, towards men or towards relationships, and like allowed me to move through all those emotions and move on to something that, you know, is really worth like being in, and we can have an emotional connection with each other because, you know, we did the internal work to, I say we because I know you did the same thing, to be able to still have a good and a positive relationship.
Right. With each other. And I did some, you know, counseling myself for quite a while, you know, because, you know, I didn't want it to affect me. And I felt like maybe going through counseling and coming out of it, I didn't feel like I ever dipped down into that place where I didn't feel like, you know, like marriage or relationships was for me. And maybe it's just the way I am, or something, but or maybe it's because of the counseling that I'd gone through, mm-hmm. that it never, like my counselor helped me just work through that, and I never felt that way. I mean, I was like in weekly counseling sessions, so.
Right.
I mean, I don't think, so I think my counselor actually did a really good job. So if you guys are in need of that, I am a very strong proponent for counseling.
True.
If you can get it.
Yeah, it's worth it.
I mean, it's very expensive, especially if your like medical insurance doesn't cover it.
Right.
But I think most people's medical insurance has it now, like behavioral health kind of things.
I don't know. Mine didn't.
Yours doesn't? Mm. Oh, man. Okay. Well, in my two jobs that I've ever had in my entire life, my professional jobs, not like McDonald's, because I've had several of those jobs. Mm. I've worked at McDonald's. What was next? Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, Boston Market, another Taco Bell.
Jeez. You're like in the fast food service industry.
I know. That's probably why I was like, I'll never work in fast food. I'm going to do something different than this because I don't like working in fast food. But anyway, yeah. So if you have the opportunity to go and get counseling, if you need it, then even if you don't think you need it, but you've gone through something, you know, a trial of some kind or something like that that might affect you, you should definitely go and consider it, because it's helped. I know it's helped me personally, and it's helped Annabelle.
Yeah, I think in some communities there's a stigma around going to counseling, but.
Right. And I don't understand that really, because like counseling is kind of like a business coach, you know, a business coach will help you through your business and try to figure out what's going on and, you know, kind of guide you and help you along the way. In the same way, that's, I think, what a counselor or a therapist does for you, like, but from an emotional and emotional standpoint. It's kind of like a business coach for your emotions. Your emotions coach.
Yeah, I definitely went through a period of like pessimism, and I almost said jadism, but that's
jadism.
That's not a. I mean, that is a word, but that's like a.
It is.
Isn't that like a? Oh no, that's Jainism.
That is also a word.
Isn't it that it's like an Eastern religion where you like don't
Judaism?
No. It's like...
Now we're alienating all of our Jew listeners, Jewish listeners.
You are. I know what Judaism is. No, I was talking about Jainism, I think is like, I could be totally wrong, but I think it's like an Eastern religion, but it's like a extremely pacifist religion. Like they don't even want to kill bugs or...
Or plants? Are they vegetarian? Because plants bleed.
They must be vegan. But I don't know how they deal with eating plants. Or how they reconcile that. Because that is obviously killing something. I don't know. I can't remember. I could be totally wrong. What I was trying to say before that tangent was I definitely went through a period of time where I was like really jaded towards relationships.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know this.
It was a brief period because I'm like an optimist by nature. And so I kept going into my, you know, my counseling appointments and would be like, this just doesn't feel like me. And she would always encourage me and say, you know, like you'll like your equilibrium will return like back to your natural state, which is optimistic, which it did eventually. But
yeah.
I would say I went through probably like 3 or 4 months of
eating pizza
despondency, but then it worked out, obviously. And she was right. I did kind of return back to my equilibrium once I had like processed the
kind of rebalanced yourself.
Right.
Right.
Right. 'Cause like when you're wounded, it's natural to like kind of retreat a little bit and like let your wounds heal before you like jump back into battle.
Yeah,
the battlefield that is love. Just kidding.
Love is a battlefield.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know the rest of this song, so let's stop.
That's why
there.
I didn't sing it.
So anyway, there was a time when during my separation and eventual divorce, I was like very anxious. I couldn't get to sleep. And I told my doctor this, and then he's prescribed some sort of medicine. It's an anxiety medicine. I don't remember what it was called. It was like a normal, you know, I had recognized the name. And if you were to say it now, I probably would recognize it again. But it was some sort of medicine. And I took it for a little while. He was like, you should take this for every day for, you know, it was a little tiny pill. It was like a week. No, he said like take it for a month. And then like I took it for a week and it just felt awful. Like it made me feel more anxious, I feel like. Oh. And so I stopped that because I was like, this is not helping at all.
Right.
And so I stopped that. And actually it helped in that after I stopped it, I stopped feeling anxious. Maybe because I was like, I don't want to feel like this. This sucks. But I was in a place where I was like not eating. That's what happens to me. I remember like one time.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I lost a lot of weight.
Me too.
Going through my divorce.
I lost like 20 pounds one time. Oh, and that's saying a lot because I don't know if you guys have seen on our Instagram, I'm quite slim and trim already.
So if we need to cut back on our grocery spending, we both just need to get super stressed out. Is that what you're saying?
Right. And then we'll never go to Costco again. That's not a good weight.
Yeah. Just diet. Kidding. This is not advice. Don't listen to us.
But yeah, the point of all this is that eventually we made it through to the other side.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have been able to, had we given up, like, I don't even know what that means in terms of relationships, because, I mean, I guess that means just giving up on being in a relationship and just staying single, or in like a business setting, you know, giving up, if you were to have given up the first few years in Evergreen Lane and then not really have seen it through, then you wouldn't be in a place where you're now side by side hustling.
Right.
You know, and then eventually that'll be just your primary hustle.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, that path of persistence is not the easy path.
Right. It's not the easiest thing to do.
You know, it's easy when...
It's totally easier to just give up sometimes.
Right. And to not do the work, because it's a struggle sometimes, for sure.
Right.
And it's uncomfortable to move forward sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, what does that look like even to continue to persist? I mean, you made a good point. It is a struggle. It's hard. And sometimes you want to give up. You know, some days you wake up and you're like, I just don't want to get out of bed. I know I felt like that sometimes.
Right.
And, you know, but you have to.
Yeah.
That's really the only way to get around it. Okay, you ready for the sweep up?
Indeed.
You said that last week.
I did?
You said the same exact thing.
I'm predictable. Yes, I'm ready for the sweep up.
What made you feel loved today?
Did you need me to say something else?
No, it's fine. What made you feel loved today?
It made me feel loved that this weekend we were with some of your family. We were visiting with them. And it made me feel loved that even though we were visiting people, that you were willing to carve out the time for me to do my writing for my National Novel Writing Month, which I'm doing the challenge to write 50,000 words in a month, which is crazy. But it meant a lot to me that you were willing to like take that time out to do, you know, to work on that goal, even though we were you know, there were people there and we were, you know, busy. That made me feel loved.
You're welcome, baby.
What made you feel loved?
Along the same line is that you were, I guess the opposite is that because I know that it tires you out to meet a whole lot of people all at the same time, that you were still willing to like go out to dinner and go and do some sightseeing with my family, and you know, just made them feel like, you know, my aunt was like, we really like her, she's really awesome. So you know, it made me feel loved that you were willing to like troop it out, even though I know you probably were like exhausted by the end of the day, meeting all those new people and stuff. But then you didn't get to introvert like you can during our normal, you know, during our normal time during the week. So that made me feel loved.
Welcome.
And what
now
about...
Now don't talk to me for 3 days. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Wow. I'm rejected.
What about you guys that are listening? What made you feel loved today? And how can we support you? Is there any way that we can support you in something that you're persisting on right now, or that you're tempted to give up on? We would love to be there for you.
Go to our website. Go to our website, swepttogether.com/episode11. Post some of the things that you're working on right now that you're maybe struggling with in terms of, you know, persistence, or, you know, what are you guys working on that you've been persisting on? And we'd love to hear some of those, you know, success stories. Also, we're on Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat at Swept Together. Or
you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/swepttogether. Or you can just type at Swept Together in the search box and we will pop right up. So remember, if you enjoyed this episode, to share it with your friends, your family, your significant other, your business partner. Just send them to swepttogether.com.
Right. And our episode this week, again, was about persistence. And like I was reading about this guy. His name is this Indian guy named Dashrath Manji. And he was called the Mountain Man of India. He's like, this is like this famous story that I had just come across. And I guess the story is like he was working in the field or something, and his wife, who was pregnant, was bringing him food for lunch one day. And then, you know, he was working up in the mountains. She was climbing up this mountain to get to him, to get food to him. And she slipped and fell and like broke a bunch of things. I don't know, but it was very, you know, it was a pretty severe fall. And so he had to take her to the hospital, but it was from where their village was, it was like 70 kilometers to this hospital. So it took a long time. By the time they got there, she had died. But she died because like she bled out or something like that. But the thing is, the way their village is situated, there's a big mountain like right in the way. So if they would have been able to cut through the mountain, then that would have been, that probably would have saved her life. And so after her death, this dude, Dashrath Manji, was like, I'm going to make sure that this never happens again. And so he, with just like a chisel and a hammer, literally, and then I found YouTube's, we can link to this YouTube. They showed the chisel and the actual hammer that he used to cut through this like enormous mountain. And it was like 25 feet tall by 30 feet wide, this path. And like the path was like 360 feet in length. It took like 22 years for this dude to cut this path through the mountain. And he was like, I want to do this for, you know, my wife, first of all, because I don't want, you know, if this path had been there, then this tragedy wouldn't have happened. And also he wanted to like kind of leave it for his people, his, you know, the village where he was from. so that they can access, you know, this hospital in this other town. And so that's like an awesome story, I think, an inspirational story of perseverance and a good, you know, kind of lesson as to, you know, you have having a good why. And what I mean by that is, you know, why are you doing this? And he was doing it for reasons of love and, you know, altruism for his village. But I thought that was just a really good and inspirational story to end with today.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in every week, guys, and listening to us. We love having this time to chat with you, and we really appreciate all of your encouragement and support. Yeah.
So until next time, guys, we will talk to you next week, next Tuesday. Every Tuesday is Swept Together Tuesday. Can we start calling it that? I think that would be cool. Swept Together Tuesdays. All right, we'll talk to you again next week.
Later.
Shut up, dog. Trying to record a podcast. Why are you pooping, cat? Do you need a magazine in there?
Yeah, I just needed
a... You need a narcoleptic?
No.
Are you trying to sleep right now?